Invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. I wish to begin this morning by reminding us of something that we focused on last week, and that is understanding the mission of our enemy. As we are in a series that is highlighting the freedom that Christ has given to us, and what that freedom really is all about, a freedom, a spiritual freedom. And we'll discover more about that as we go along. But last week we took a hard look at the fact that there is someone that hates our freedom and is an enemy of our freedom. And his mission is to cause separation. Now, that shouldn't come as any surprise to us. God created us for the purpose of relationship, because he himself exists in relationship as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us that he created us in his image. And a big part of that image is the fact that we have the capacity for relationship. Relationship with him. Relationship with each other. And so is it any surprise to us that Satan would target separation as the main purpose of his attacks against us? To separate people from one another. To separate us from God. He did that in the Garden of Eden, didn't he? He was successfully separated Adam and Eve from God by drawing them away from the Lord and causing them to disobey him. And it created spiritual death, separation from God. He targets our homes. He loves to create separation between husband and wife. He loves to create separation between siblings. He targets churches. He loves to create separation between God's people and get them fighting and create disunity and stir up strife. He tried to do that with the Lord Jesus Christ. We read it this morning. He came at Jesus in the wilderness. When Jesus was at his weakest point physically after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. But he overlooked one thing. He was not weak spiritually. He had used those 40 days to draw nearer and nearer to his Father through prayer and experience that perfect unity as the God-man. And yet Satan thought, I can get him now. So he came at him at his weakest physical point, and he tempted him with the thought of food. That would be a temptation, wouldn't it, after 40 days of fasting? He tempted him with power. What was the purpose of that? It was to cause separation between Jesus, the Son of God, and God the Father. Oh, he wanted to succeed in that so badly. And so this is his mission. Watch out for it. He's really effective at it. And you can't see him coming, can you? And we can't blame everything on Satan. There are other causes for trials and struggles in our lives. But oftentimes I think he's behind things that we don't recognize that he's there. I think possibly he tried last night in our home to create separation between Brenda and I. You know, the worst possible time in our house for anything bad to happen is Saturday night, because Saturday night in our home is really a time of focusing on Sunday, preparing. I'm finishing up my notes. Brenda's usually doing something for Sunday school, or in this case, she's preparing a meal for Sunday, and she, you know, is preparing something that they're going to share here in a few minutes from the ladies' Bible study. So that's a bad time for anything to happen, and I think Satan knows that. And of all nights for our hot water heater to decide to drain its water in our basement, Saturday night. And, you know, we survived that. We mopped and we moved things, and we survived that. It could have been a lot worse. It didn't get to the carpet. Praise the Lord for that. But here's the real battle. It's not so much things like that that can be replaced and fixed. It's the relationship. Have you ever noticed that? When things like that happen, the strain it puts on relationships. And I think if Satan's hand was in that at all last night, and I can't prove that, but we kind of sensed that it was, especially considering what we're preaching on and studying today. If his hand was in that at all, it was for this purpose. It was to create separation between Brenda and I, to get us irritated and at each other because we were under stress. He's good at that, isn't he? He knows how to stir up things and put us under a load of stress so that we end up having strife between us. Well, I want to say this morning that God has not left us defenseless. We're not walking around in this world as just helpless against a roaring lion. He's given us everything we need for victory. And we want to take a close look at that this morning. Would you read with me Ephesians 6, beginning at verse 10, a very familiar passage, but so important that we refresh our hearts with this so we don't lose the freedom that Christ has provided for us by the enemy undermining our success. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. There it is. He wants us to think it is, so that we end up fighting each other. But that's not where the struggle is. But our struggle is against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. That's where the battle is. That's where the enemy is. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. That sounds pretty intense, doesn't it? That sounds like war. It is. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. Many of us are very familiar with this passage. I'm not going to dissect each piece of armor and spend a lot of time on it. Our ladies are studying that right now on Saturday mornings and really being blessed by a study. My brother Bud Miles taught on this last fall and did a great job taking us through this passage. But what I want to do this morning is, in a very simple way, show how each piece is strategically designed to protect us from a different facet of the enemy's attack. And then to make sure we understand exactly what it means to put on the armor of God. How do we do that? Let me say this, point A, that each piece of God's provision is essential. It is essential. Obviously, you don't go into battle without part of what you need to succeed. And the reason is because the enemy comes at us in different ways. And I believe that God has designed each piece of the armor to defend against the different ways that Satan will attack us. Don't we have a merciful God that He would do that? A gracious God? That He foresees, He knows our enemy, and He plans each piece of the armor to protect us. So there must not be any chinks in our armor, you see. We must not leave anything off. Every day we need to make sure that we are clothed in each piece. Now, the names of Satan have meaning. And so let's look at some of his names and see how he attacks. The belt of truth, I believe, helps us to prepare for the enemy whose name is the father of lies and also the deceiver. The deceiver, we see that in Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. And I believe that this is one of his, if not the most central attack that he has against us, is to deceive us, to cloud the truth, to get us away from the straight path of truth and begin getting wishy-washy in how we think about how to pursue life. But the defense that God has given us, the belt of truth, exposes Satan's dark lies with God's light. It's like turning a bright light on the pathway that we're walking, and suddenly we can see the way. So the belt of truth is that essential part of the armor that gives us the ability to know what God says. Now let's run through these really quickly. The breastplate of righteousness, that is a protection against the enemy whose name is schemer. He is a schemer, and we all know what a schemer is. That's what Satan is. He schemes at ways to trip us up, to create separation in our relationships. But God gives us the breastplate of righteousness as a defense to protect us. It protects us from being pulled back into sinful patterns. We all came out of sinful patterns. That was our lives. And Satan wants to draw us right back there. But the breastplate of righteousness reminds us that we are created in righteousness, to walk in it. And I've put verses next to these two as proof text and as opportunities to study further into that. Have you forgotten your old ways? Well, most of us want to forget our old ways. But we should remember enough to know that we don't want to go back to those old ways. And we are created to walk in righteousness. So we don't want to let Satan draw us back. That's what the breastplate of righteousness is for. Three, the shoes prepared for the gospel of peace. You know, one of the enemy's names is Angel of Light. Angel of Light. Interesting name. It's a disguise. Satan is anything but light. But it's a disguise to lead us astray. He seeks to distract us, to sidetrack us, to derail us from the good things that God has for us. And he often does it with good things. We talked about this last week. He tempts us with good things to distract us from the best things. Just like Christine with her example. A job can be a good thing. But in her case, her example, it was keeping her from God's best things for her. And that's what we have to discern. How do we do that? The shoes of the gospel of peace are essential. You see, the shoes help us stay on mission. What is our mission in this world? Is to advance the gospel every day. What does that look like in the home? What does that look like at work? What does that look like at school? To advance the gospel. Is that just witnessing? That's certainly an important part of it. But that's not all of it. Advancing the gospel is being honest in the workplace. Honest with our time cards. It's forgiveness. It's displaying righteousness. It's showing compassion. It's embracing truth and promoting justice. All of these things are advancing the gospel, and that's our mission. And when we put the shoes of the gospel of peace on, it reminds us every day to be on mission and not to get sidetracked by the angel of light into something that leads us away from the mission that God has given us, priorities that take us away from God. The shield of faith. One of the enemy's names is the accuser of the brethren. Accuser. He accuses us. And he's good at getting us to feel that sense of condemnation and guilt like Ford was talking about. I'm so glad God gave you that passage, Ford. What a beautiful picture. The healing of God, the healing of that leper, presents that picture of how he heals us spiritually. But Satan wants to continue to accuse us. You're not worth anything. You'll never amount to anything. You're a sinner. How can you claim to be a Christian? All those kinds of thoughts. But the shield of faith is our defense to help us hold fast, to hold fast to God's principles and his promises, to trust in God as our defender, as our deliverer. Then there's the helmet of salvation. Another one of Satan's names is the destroyer. He's called that in Revelation 9:11. And we'll see that only increase as time gets toward the end of the age. He's a destroyer. He seeks to crush our hope and discourage us. If you feel continual discouragement in your life, there's a good chance that Satan has got his hand in that to crush your hope. How do you rise above that? The helmet of salvation is essential because it's designed to give us triumph over every trial in the light of eternity. To see every trial, every difficulty that we have, in the light of eternity. God never wanted us to just live with this world in mind. If we just get focused on our life here, then life does become very dark at times, very dreary, and we can easily lose our hope. But the helmet of salvation reminds us, oh no, we're the children of the King. We have a future that goes on forever and ever. And that helps us to rise above the trials. Great example in Job. We know the story of Job. And as dark as his life got here on earth, it was Job who made this proclamation, I know who is my Redeemer, and that my eyes will see him in my flesh. He believed in the resurrection. He knew he had a future. The helmet of salvation, and then the sword of the Spirit. One of Satan's names is tempter. Tempter. He seeks to entice us away from God's good plan for life. But the sword enables us to pierce and penetrate the enemy's lies, and it causes him to flee. He can't stand against us. When we use the living Word of God against Satan's attempts, and we read about that this morning, that's how Jesus stood against Satan. He used the Word of God, and Satan left him. I trust you were handed this card as you came in this morning. And I just encourage you to keep this card somewhere where you'll review it occasionally. It will remind you of these names of Satan. It'll remind you of the pieces of armor and how they're designed to help us withstand the various attacks of Satan. But let me finish with this important point in point B, that each piece of God's provision is, in fact, the person of Christ. And this is the key to understanding this whole passage. We read in James chapter 4 that we're to resist the devil and he will flee from us. And that, okay, I want to do that. How do I do that? How do I resist an enemy I can't see? What does it mean to put on this armor? I don't get all of that. It all comes to understanding when we realize that the armor, each piece of the armor, is the person of Christ. You see, Jesus is the source and the supply of all we need to resist Satan. He is the source of it. All of these passages here show us Jesus is the truth. He's our righteousness. You can look these passages up if you want to investigate this further. It's a great study. He is our peace, the good news that we have. He is our faith. Hebrews 2:12 says he's the author of our faith and the protector, or the finisher, the perfecter of our faith. He's the one that gives us faith. Jesus is our salvation. Jesus is our living Word. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You see, all of these things. He is the armor. So the question is this: how does this work? Well, let's go back to that verse in James chapter 4. I only read half of it. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. The first part of it says, submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. See, the key to defeating Satan is to let Christ be master. That's the submitting to God part. Every day, as we begin our day, it should be a fresh recommitment. Lord Jesus, you are my master. I submit to you. Whatever you say, whatever your will is, that's my will. Those are my marching orders. And it's pictured in this. Ephesians 6:10, the beginning of the passage that we looked at and we read this morning. Finally, be strong. How? On the battlefield? No. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. God never intended for us to have the victory in and of ourselves. It's in the Lord. It's in His might. So when He says to put on the armor of God, it's the same word that's used in Romans chapter 13, verse 14, the command to put on. The word literally means to clothe yourself. So this is the picture. Every day, this is what we're doing. We are putting on Jesus Christ. The armor, you see. We're clothing ourselves in Christ. The picture is one of relationship. May I just say to you that religion doesn't do it? Religion will never cause you to succeed against the enemy. And let me also say this. Satan doesn't mind if you come to church. He really doesn't. He doesn't mind if we come to church, as long as we don't fall in love with Jesus Christ. That's what he fears. Because when we fall in love with Jesus Christ, more and more we are clothing ourselves with Him. We are drawing closer to Him in relationship. And so his efforts are to separate us from Christ. That's what his whole game is, to create separation between you and your Lord, and to create separation between us, the people of God, and between us as family members and friends. But as we put on Christ every day, we let him live through us, you see. He is the truth. He is righteousness. And the Bible teaches this so explicitly. Christ in us, living his life through us. It's his strength. It's his righteousness. It's his faith that he gives us and lives through us. Our part is to draw near to him and submit to him as master. And that's how we stand firm. That's how we stand firm against the enemy. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we do that, he will not be able to take away the freedom that Christ has given us. He won't be able to pull us back into those things that destroy our lives and our relationships. Oh, how gracious our God is to supply such a rich relationship with our Lord. Let's pray together as we close. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to be your people. Thank you for all that you've provided for us to have that relationship that you created us for. It was lost in the Garden of Eden, but it has been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you for revealing to us our enemy and what his efforts are so that we can understand, so that we can beware. But Lord, above all, we thank you for the reality that Jesus Christ lives in each of your people. And he will deliver us from every attack of the enemy as we let him be Lord of our lives, as we grow in our love for him, as we submit our hearts to him more and more. Would you help us to do that? May your Holy Spirit instruct our minds in a deeper and fuller way of these rich and wonderful truths, that we might experience the freedoms that you have provided for us. The freedom from sin, the freedom to live in the light of truth, and the freedom to advance the kingdom of light in this dark world. Lord, these are the treasures that you've given to us that Satan wants to take away. But by your strength this week, we will walk in the power of Jesus Christ and experience his life in us and through us. May it be so. Bless your people this week. Lord, may we encourage each other as the people of God. And we give you praise and we give you thanks with all of our hearts in the name of our blessed Savior, Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. Amen.